This episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
We're almost there. Quiet down, everyone. This is not like any of our previous expeditions. This will be far more ambitious.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 105 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is April 17th, 2017. From Denver, Colorado, I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, let's jump on over to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with our very own Tannen Grace. Hey Tannen, welcome.
Hey buddy, how's it going? Pretty excited about the show tonight. Man, Hearthstone's great again. I love it. I don't know how you guys feel, but the new set is amazing. So looking forward to talking about everything to do with Hearthstone, because I've actually been on a big Hearthstone kick lately.
Nice. Well, that's good. Let me re-switch these things back over. Let's jump on over to Kansas City with our very own JR Cook. JR, hey man, welcome back. It's been a while, dude.
It's only been a week, right?
2 weeks.
I just missed a week. 2 weeks.
Right, so that makes it 2 weeks total. It's been 14 days since we last spoke.
It's too long.
Oh, yeah. Well, just be lucky it wasn't 15, because that would have been bad, I guess. You know, that would have been even longer than 14, because that's how math works.
You are the numbers scientist.
I just wanted to explain that for Tannen.
It took me a minute, but you explained it, and now I get it.
Okay. Good. Fair enough.
We're all on the same page. We're all on the same page. We know math.
We do know math. Not really. But yeah. Hey, we're back. It's week two of Journey to Un'Goro. And the end of week two. Coming up on the end of week two of Journey to Un'Goro. And man, is it polarized out there. It is hot or not right now in the Hearthstone world. You're either loving it, you're hating it. There's not a lot of people right there in the middle, but I'm on the hot side for sure. It's been a lot of fun to play. Lots of good decks to play out there. And yeah, it'll be good fun. It'll be good fun. Well, let's go ahead and let's do this first. Before we get started, there's just a few days left. 4 days if you're listening to this live. 3 days if you are not. There is 3 days left in our Legion by Lenovo peripherals giveaway. You got an awesome opportunity to win a keyboard, mouse, headphones, and a $20 Battle.net gift card. All you have to do is sign up right at the link that I posted in chat, or it'll also be in the show notes. For those of you listening online, Legion by Lenovo is making some awesome gaming stuff, and you should definitely check it out. Get some gaming periffs, you know, that'll jazz. But let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone, shall we? Tannen, let's jump to you first, man. What have you been up to in the game?
So I've actually played a ton of Hearthstone this week. I think I'm rank 5 on one server, and I think I'm also in single digits on the other server. Like, I just can't stop playing the game because I'm just trying out so many new decks. I never thought I'd say this, but I don't think I have enough deck slots in the client to keep up with everything that I'm doing. JR and I are going to be playing in a tournament series. I think, when do we start? Like, we start pretty soon, right?
It's in May.
It's in May. All right. But I have one that's actually starting this week with a couple of my friends. We start tonight. I have my first games tomorrow, and you had to, you know, send in your 4 classes, and it's the biggest struggle I've ever had to choose decks, because I was like, I want to play 12. Can I just get 12? I'll randomize it somehow and try to pick the deck from there. But I'm having a ton of fun with all my decks. I'm playing the good ones, the bad ones, which there's not many bad ones right now. Everything's pretty playable because people haven't fully solved everything. But I think the most fun I'm having right now is with this gigantic druid deck, like this ramp druid deck I have that just has 7, 8, 9, and 10 drops in it. It's like a million legendaries and all the ramp spells, and it's just so much fun.
Nice.
I played that deck for a bit, and the first time I played it, it was so ridiculous. Like, I had so much fun playing that for a bit, and then it just lost a lot, so I quit playing
That happens, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about another one of those decks that's kind of the same way. You either crush with it, or you get crushed, but it's fast, and it's fun. It's a fun deck. JR, what about you, man? What have you been up to this week?
Oh, man, I have been playing so much Hearthstone that I have dreams at night about playing more Hearthstone. That I am starting to get sick of Hearthstone because I've been playing it so much at this point that I'm having to scale back. Over the weekend, this weekend and last weekend, there were times I was up until 4 a.m. playing this game. Jeez. And I never stay up that late and play games. I don't know what it is about it, but I think it was just the fact that we get these new cards, but I've never been this excited for new cards before. I think it's the fact that all of this other stuff rotated out and you're seeing all kinds of new new decks being played.
It's double and fresh. There are,
and you don't know like what you're going to run into. Like, yeah, there's Quest Rogue out there that you do see often. There's Taunt Warrior out there, which you do see often. But then you just run into this crazy stuff that you're just like, what the heck is this? I don't know what I'm playing against. And I got up to rank 5 the first week. And then I shot up to rank 2 this last week. But I've been like, I haven't hit legend yet. I've been bouncing back and forth between 2 and 5 because what will happen is the meta will change like overnight. Right. And what I was playing the night before will no longer work. And then I just start losing. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to mix it up and try something new. And then when I first start playing that new deck, I lose. And then I get to winning. And then I get back up to like rank 2 again. And then I go to bed. And the next day, the meta has shifted again. And that deck, I just can't win with that deck all of a sudden. So I'm in that like process of trying to find something that just is working. Because if I build something that's highly aggro, you know, I end up losing to Taunt Warrior, but I can beat Quest Rogue. But if I build something that's super greedy, I just get crushed by Quest Rogue. And it's kind of in that rough spot where you got to find something that is good or decent against everything. You have to make the right tech decisions. And right now I'm having a rough time of doing that in this new this new era.
Never go to sleep at rank 2. Like, there's your first mistake. When you're on a streak, you go for it, and you go for legend.
But it's 4 a.m., John. It's 4 a.m.
Dude, at that point, your sleep's screwed anyways. You might as well stay up, hit legend, and say, I at least lost sleep for something, rather than staying up till 4, waking up the next day, and falling back to rank 5. So, it's just logic, you know.
It makes a good point.
You do make a good point. I'm going to lose either way, I think. I'm going to lose either way.
That's the spirit. That's that's the spirit. That's what. That's the substance that champions are made out of. Probably just going to lose anyways.
Yep.
As for me, played quite a bit. I've been playing some like wacky, weird decks and trying to find new decks for our gain or entertain segment. And, you know, I've been doing quite a bit of that. So rushed up to rank 4 on EUs, hanging around like rank 10 to 15 on NA. But I'll make a push here and just start playing some good decks and, you know, keep climbing that ladder. But it's been pretty fun for me. There's been a lot going on in the Overwatch world. Just today, they announced that Genji and Hanamura are coming to Heroes of the Storm, which is kind of cool. So there's quite a few cool things going on. But that's not Hearthstone. let's go into the news, talk about Hearthstone.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right, before we get started, we do want to thank our friends of the show who I lost on my thing. Albert T., The Real Ben, Corel, and Variatus. Thank you so much for your support of the show. You can support Well Matt and find out all the cool things that we're doing with our patrons over at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast and find out how you can get involved. So first and foremost, the volcano has erupted on the new Journey to Un'Goro Hearthstone board. It's playing up on the video, on the audio. There'll be a link to the YouTube video on how to do it. But there was a trick. And JR, you were one of the first ones to figure this out once it kind of leaked that it was a thing. So tell us what's going on here.
Yeah, so I actually have to give full credit to Reddit. I don't remember the guy's name. He found it by just clicking a bunch of buttons. And then from there, people were just like, oh, there is some kind of sequence on hitting those bottom right-hand instruments to get the volcano to erupt. There is a video. It's very simple. You hit the drum, you hit the lower leaf, you hit the red shell, lower leaf, upper leaf. Yep. If you're listening, that's how it's done. And then the volcano, you'll hear this like music playing, and the volcano will erupt. You'll hear some birds kind of fleeing away. And it is the coolest effect in the game currently. So, in my opinion, like, for a board, like, I thought the Journey to Un'Goro board was kind of like, meh, until I saw the volcano erupt, and I'm like, okay, this wins and everything. So whenever I'm on that board, I just keep clicking that and just constantly make the volcano erupt, and that's probably why I keep losing at rank 2, because I'm not paying attention anymore to the game.
You can kind of slam it, dude. It's just, you can kind of keep slamming that, like, the whole time, you know?
Yeah, you can just keep doing it.
I got to completely agree with JR here. When I first saw the map and interacted with it, I was like, this is it? You know, there's not a lot going on in this Un'Goro map. And I was like, there has to be something I'm missing. Like, and then I saw the guy, I think I saw the same video you did of the guy getting the volcano to erupt. He said that, like, when he was, you know, hitting the buttons, it sounded like music and he could kind of get it like the Un'Goro theme. And he said he was just messing with it. And it went off. And he's like, oh, yay, we did it. And, you know, now you found the simple way to do it. So, pretty exciting that there's actually something going on in this map, because at first it was really boring.
Yeah, it's definitely what I spend most of my time doing when I'm really bored in the game. So, which I like, people tend to be taking really long turns in Hearthstone right now, which I don't know why, just faces the place, but you know, gives you something to do, right?
Now, are there certain things on certain maps that you guys just always do when the game starts? Like, for example, on Summon the GVG map.
Blackrock Mountain.
Yeah. That's a good one. On the GVG map, I always shoot the rocket and send it flying.
I always throw a rock on the one that has, like, a little catapult at the bottom of my hand. And then when it's like holidays, it's always a snowball. And then they make everything, like, snow. I always throw rocks the whole time.
I always have to make the kite go away.
The screw.
Putting the screw back, because that's important. That's super important.
That'll increase your win rate by at least like 10%. It'll put you up at least in a rank or two.
On the Karazhan map, I always send the tower flying. Like, I always have to send something flying in the air. So when this volcano was there, I was like, yes, I can send lava in the air now. I can now win my games because something is moving and going in the air.
Yep. Well, now that you guys broke the game for everyone with all your win rate tricks, this just in, according to Well Met Podcast, playing with the game board raises your win rate by at least 10%, according to Tan and Grace. So
you can quote me.
Quoted you, I did. We've also got something else going on in the news, though. And that is the Hearthstone team released a behind the card Amara Warden of Hope, which video, which kind of goes into the whole design process of the Journey to Un'Goro cards, and specifically Amara Warden of Hope goes through some really cool things. They talk about localization. They talk about like 3D imaging, the golden art. They talk about the systems. They talk about, what else do they talk about? The sounds and music and all that stuff. And obviously balance as well. I think Dean is in there. It's pretty neat. So I don't know. What did you guys think? Like, for me personally, the thing that I liked the most about this, I mean, the video itself was like, okay, cool. I kind of figured. But it was just nice to get some communication. Like, even if it's just this, right? And so, I don't know. I thought it was neat, at least. What about you guys? Pretty cool or just kind of meh?
I like seeing, like, hearing about the different iterations and things that they have to do on, here's the card design and an idea that we have, especially when they're starting to talk about quests and how are we going to make this system even work, right? Not only like in the game and actually like, you know, work well, but also how's it going to look on the screen? How's the UI going to look? And, you know, how's it going to flow? So that when you're playing these quests, like knowing like just the little details that they talk about and coming up with that on the iterations they had to go through to get to that point on where, yeah, we see the finished product and we don't think about all of the little details that had to have gone for just this one card or just this one little system. And I thought that was pretty cool. The other thing that really blew my mind on this was when they were talking about localization and how many different languages like they have to do for each individual card that has different things. And some of the different things, like funnel cakes was an example on something they could, like, that's an American thing. And it doesn't translate very well to other countries and cultures. So like for Mexico, for example, it was about churros or, you know, something like that. So, you know, just hearing things like that was just pretty cool to kind of get a behind the scenes look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was pretty excited to see them talk about actually designing cards like from the top down, because, you know, we don't always get those kind of thoughts from people. We'll get like the quick snippets later when they're like, oh, we realize this card is a problem or something like that. You know, we don't get it at the beginning of a card too often. And it was pretty cool to see how much actually went into the design of a card. Like JR just, you know, hit it very well. There's just so much they have to do per card. And it made me have like a lot more respect for the, you know, the whole process that goes into a card instead of just the text box, which, you know, being a competitive player, that's what matters the most to me. Is this card good? That's the first thing I think about. Is this card playable? But I don't think about everything that goes into designing a card. I was like, man, they put a lot of work in each one of these. So I was really impressed.
Think about like Magic the Gathering on designing that card game, which is a physical or any physical card game versus a digital card game, because of all the extra stuff that they have to do. You get the animations going to make sure that the effects are interacting like they're supposed to get the sound and the music and just all of that for each individual card. Like it's just multiplied on how much work has to be done on each expansion compared to like a physical card game like Magic, where all you do care about is the balance of the game.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're exactly right.
My favorite part about this video was when they showed some of the 3D shots of the Hearthstone game board. It looks so cool.
That was awesome. Yeah, when they showed the, like, they rotated it, you can see the cards like above the board, right, and like where they're going to sit. That was so cool.
Yeah, I want a like VR version of the tavern with this 3D Hearthstone game board, and just that's how I want to play Hearthstone. Ben Brode, Yong Wu, if you're listening, that's what I want.
I very much contemplated doing that at some point because Hearthstone is created in Unity, which is a free game developer engine, basically, or software that you can, you know, just go get and learn and build games in. And a lot of indie games are built using this. So you can very easily create a Unity board in Hearthstone. And if you can find a way to read the game board state from Hearthstone into your program, I was thinking you could easily recreate that in a virtual reality setting.
Right. And I think you should be able to, because websites like Hearthstone Replay and Hearthstone Deck Tracker do that just from the log files. So
yeah, and Hearthstone Deck Tracker is a .NET program, which Unity is a C#, which uses the same language. So they're very similar.
Too many acronyms and too many numbers. It's a coding language and another coding language and a third coding language.
And they're all compatible.
Like,
I could just see this. You have like your phone or your iPad like in front of your face of the VR experience, and you could like put on some kind of gloves, kind of like what's the movie Minority Report? You know, where he's like picking stuff out of the air and you're just like moving the cards and throwing them and attacking stuff with it. That would be awesome.
I'm all about that. I wonder if a free-to-play mobile game like Hearthstone will ever see the most robust version of VR for any game we've ever seen. That'd be quite the roadmap, I must say.
It's probably already in development.
Probably. Who knows? Anyways, we thought that was pretty cool. Not a whole lot to discuss here. But yeah. Last but not least in news, Hearthstone got a little bit more expensive to play because apparently this happens when the Hearthstone or Blizzard is going to release an art book. And I'm like, awesome. Hearthstone art is amazing. Katie loves coffee table books. How awesome would it be to have a book of some of the most memorable art from Hearthstone and other things like that? The internet was mostly just as positive as I was, but there was a few sects of people who were like, or you could just go to this website, or you could just make your game less expensive to play. And man, I almost got, I was like 10 seconds away from getting on my keyboard on my Reddit account and going ham, but I didn't do it.
I saw your Twitter. I could tell you were holding back. The fury was there underneath the surface.
Unbelievable. Guys, has nothing to do with those two things. Anyways, I think this is really cool. I love big coffee table books about Blizzard games because they do such an amazing job on them. Whether it's art for World of Warcraft, Diablo, and now Hearthstone. I know they make it for other ones, but those are the only ones I've seen, and they've all been amazingly done. And so I would be all about that. Are you guys going to get the Hearthstone tabletop or Hearthstone art book?
100%, yes. I have all of the collector's editions, and most of those come with art books. I have the Art of Blizzard book. I've got the two Diablo books that have a lot of artwork in them. I've got all kinds of books right here, of World of Warcraft, Diablo, StarCraft, like all of their games. And I'm so excited for Hearthstone. I mean, even look behind me, you can see like Deathwing right here, right behind me, the card art for Deathwing. I have another one off to the side that you can't see, which is, of the Frostwolves. One of the Hearthstone games. And this is made by Dan Scott, who has done a lot of the artwork in the WoW trading card game and in Hearthstone as well. So I'm totally excited about like all of the Hearthstone art because you only get to see a little glimpse of it on the cards. Like you only get to see a little oval. You don't get to see the whole thing a lot of times. And just that whole artwork stuff is just like all of it is just awesome. And I really excited to have it in book form that, yeah, I can go on a website and see it for free, but what's the point of that? I want to buy a physical book.
Yep. I agree. I don't have enough room for websites on my computer. So I have to get them all in program form. Sorry, Tannen, how do you feel about this art book?
I'm definitely getting it myself. I actually, I'm going to be moving into my first house here in about a little less than 2 months. And it's going to be the first coffee table book that I get. Can't wait.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, that's three sales from us here at Wellmet. So if you want to send an early copy, Blizzard, just let me know. That'd be great. All right, esports talk. Not a whole lot going on in esports. We had the Red Bull Team Brawl go on this week. It was a good, fun time. They had Team PogChamp, Luminosity Gaming, Tempo Storm, and Grinning Goat, which is Edwicta, Merps, Hafu, doing some arena stuff. But it was really, it was, if you guys got to catch it, definitely should go back. One of those alternate formats, sealed format, team things. It was really well done, and there was a lot of great players, and they showed kind of the drafting process and all that stuff, and it was a one-day event, so you definitely want to go check that out. You can go to twitch.tv/RedBullEsports, watch the VOD right there. Hearthstone Global Games week one is finished. We've got week two coming up this week, but I can't find the exact stream times anywhere. But it's going to be, I believe, the same thing Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, it starts at 7 a.m. tomorrow. But America tomorrow? Is, yeah, NA is the last match of the day. So it should be around prime time.
Yeah.
AKA middle of the day, you know, right. Noonish.
So that's going on. I actually talked with Robert Wang, and he said they're going to have more communication about the times specifically for the streams going forward, because you have to kind of dig a little bit to find them. But yeah, stay tuned. Go on your phone and turn on push notifications for the Play Hearthstone Twitch stream, and you'll never miss Hearthstone Global Games as it is. Big news this week, though. USA. 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 So USA sweeps the UK 3-0. Big surprise there. Not a big surprise in that the US won, because duh. But I don't think people expected this to go in a sweep form. Tannen, were you expecting it to end like that?
I mean, I'm always expecting the sweep. I think we're going to not lose a game throughout the entire tournament. We're going to sweep everyone and prove that that NA is the best. Yes. Not close. But we'll probably lose some games this week, honestly.
Well, that went down.
Sorry, someone posted some awesome information for me in chat. 1 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time at, that's 1 a.m. So 2 a.m. Mountain Time, 7 a.m. Mountain Time, and then, I don't know. I can't do all that conversion in that. Similar to last time. Anyways, sorry.
Similar to last time.
go back to last week's episode, figure out what we told you there, and then do it at the same time. Just do that. So, yeah, sorry. So you didn't. You did. You didn't. This episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership
with Fusion by Lenovo
and Intel. Let's just
start this whole thing over.
I'm just kidding. sorry.
You totally lost me there, man.
I know. I'm totally sorry. Lost me there. I got lost. All right, let's talk about this other one. Norway barely edged out Finland 3-2. So that was kind of surprising. We knew this one was going to be close. So, good games coming up this week. Stay tuned. Let's talk about the meta.
Journey to Un'Goro.
How did you convince me to do this?
Journey to Un'Goro.
Whatever.
Why am I, so ADD right now? I can't keep anything straight. It's just been difficult. Anyways, the Tempo Storm meta snapshot number one for Un'Goro is live. And we're not going to go through this in too much depth because we've got quite a bit to get through. But it does warrant some discussion. So Tempo Storm, and this is as of, I believe, 3 days, April 14th. Yeah, and today is the 17th. So 3 days ago, put this out. And what they are saying is the best deck right now is Pirate Warrior, followed by Miracle Rogue, followed by Taunt Warrior, followed by Quest Rogue. JR, agree, disagree? What would you change about this list?
This is tough because all four of those decks are really top tier. The only one that I would even consider putting in there would be a Midrange Hunter, because I think Midrange Hunter right now is in a really good place. just solely because Reno got rotated out. Mid-range Hunter became infinitely better at that point.
And they've got that.
But I don't know what I would pick out.
It's the third best deck in tier two is where mid-range Hunter is.
Right.
So,
but I don't know what I would take out. Like if I were to take anything out, like it almost feels like Quest Rogue to me just because you can stomp Quest Rogue. Like it, Quest Rogue is in this weird place where it's really good, but also not. Like it can win you games that you shouldn't have won. But at the same time,
those are the best decks. Really those are hard. The decks that I like. I like winning games I shouldn't.
Right.
That makes. But at me the same time, like it can just player. Get
punished really hard too. Yeah. It's just one of those. It's really a swingy deck. Pirate Warrior is going to be good for a long time, and I think of all these, it has the highest win rate. Miracle Rogue, which we all thought was going to go away, ends up being pretty good, and I'm actually surprised at how good Sharazin. The Corpse Flyer is because I didn't rate that as a very highly good card, but it's actually pretty decent in this deck.
I don't know if Miracle
and Rogue Warrior is better than what I thought it would be as well.
I don't know if Miracle Rogue can ever go away in Hearthstone without Gadget Sand getting nerfed, or we see more of those zero cost spells go into and get retired. Because even with Conceal, combined with Adapt and all that kind of stuff, like Conceal was totally a win more card in a lot of times. And it lets you kind of get those. But like you said, they've already added some good cards that immediately complement that. And sure, it's not Conceal, but Conceal would just make that deck broken and be number one for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. And the thing is, you're kind of seeing Miracle Rogue change a little bit in the way that it has to play now. You know, when it, like you made a really good point with the Conceal, because it used to just, you know, rely on this big turn and then Conceal and then try to go off the next turn. Now it has to fight for the board a lot more. And if you look at all the other decks that are in tier one and tier two, almost every single one of these is reliant on having a board state. And if Miracle Rogue is just really good at fighting for the board and taking it away from you and still replacing cards and still getting other stuff done, then the deck's in a really good spot. And so that's why you're seeing this deck still be very, very good. Also, Rogue just got probably the best class cards in the set, or the most good class cards in this set. Mm-hmm. I think JR hit this really well. Like, mid-range Hunter, very good. I think it should be a little bit higher possibly on this list. I like a lot of the versions of mid-range Paladin a lot in this set. I think they got the four best decks at that moment correct. And I saw some of the people talking about this on Twitter that helped make this. And they said they were literally working on it until like 2 hours before the release or something like that. They just like couldn't get everything. You know, they were like, there was arguments here, there inside, like, oh, this is better. This is better. So it's still showing that the meta is quite in flux, but I think this is a pretty good representation of it overall. I think they got it pretty well done.
I think like you could probably take the top 10 decks here and just kind of mash them all together, and you could make good arguments for the best teched version of that deck to be in that tier one slot, right? Because you're like mid-range Paladin. Freshka put out an awesome Murloc Paladin, I believe, that he hit Legend with. And then that was the go-to mid-range Paladin deck for a few days. And it's kind of changing again. The meta is changing fast. To JR's point earlier, you go to bed at 4 a.m., you wake up, you're dropping three ranks because your deck's out of date, dog. So you gotta fix that. Gotta tech your deck, bro.
I would like to say this. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a specific class missing from tier one and tier two that we've kind of gotten flooded with. Death Knight? As one caster always says, Shaman is missing. There's no Shaman decks in these top two tiers.
And I remember a certain PvP where you said Shaman was gonna be the best.
That's very true.
And I said mid-range Hunter was going to gain the most. I did win that. So yeah,
point for JR so far. I will admit that.
Yep, that's true. Hindsight is 2020, boys. Just remember that. Hindsight is 2020. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. All I'm going to say is this. You can win with just about any deck. And if you find yourself saying, I can't win, there's nothing I could have done, and you're not like playing rank 5+, you're probably not right. This is my rant for the day, because I've seen so many people have messaged me on Twitter. We've gotten emails about it. Like, there's nothing I can do. I'm dead by turn four. There's nothing. I'm like, well, every deck to some point, the perfect draw, you win by turn five, turn six. There is such a thing like that in Hearthstone. But I'm like, you're rank 17 and you're telling me there's nothing that you think you can do. There's nothing wrong with being rank 17, but please change that mindset, because you won't go beyond that until you start going, what could I have done differently? Save that on Hearthstone replay. Put it in our BlizzPro Discord, discord.gg/BlizzPro. Put it in one of my Discords or another. There's the Tavern Discord for the subreddit. And there's all sorts of different places where you can get that input out there, because that's something that needs to change in the Hearthstone community. And that's going to be my message for this expansion.
I want to add on to that real quick, that if you're finding yourself losing turn five and turn between turn four and turn six consistently over and over again, and you are feeling like there is nothing you can do, that they are getting the perfect draws every single time, I will say that you are probably playing an extremely greedy deck that is getting punished right now by aggro. And you need to change what you are playing. If you're running against lots of aggro, punish them by playing something that is more about early board control.
Yep.
And running them out of cards that they can't get through. If you're sitting there playing like turn seven, turn eight legendaries and waiting on getting them out, but you're dead before you can, you're playing too greedy, and you've got to pull that back a little bit,
right?
And run something else,
right? Totally agree. Anything else here that you guys would add, change, anything like that? Are there any decks that you think are especially poised this week to tear on the ladder, or are we kind of all in agreement here that it's like, you know what? Those top 10 decks, find a good tech, look at the subreddits, look at the different forums, find someone with some cool techs, look at your stats, and, you know, adapt whatever your favorite archetype from that list is, adapt it for what you're seeing on the ladder and going for legend.
I think there's a chance there's some shaman decks that they're going to start creeping up on the next one. Elemental Shaman is strong. People haven't figured out, you know, the exact right build. You know, like, do you make it a little bit quicker? Do you have all the top end? And I've seen some mid-range shaman decks winning tournaments lately, but it could just be that it's a good tournament deck and not as good for ladder. You know, when you get to ban a deck away, a lot of lineups look a lot different. But I really believe that you're going to start seeing shaman creep in here very soon.
Right.
Cool. I think the biggest surprise for me is not seeing as many Jade Idol anymore. Like, that felt like so powerful before Journey to N'Goro came out. And now it doesn't feel like it's that good anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would agree. I feel like the meta is starting to slow down a little bit. And I feel like Druid isn't having to run so many minions and stuff at the beginning. Once that starts happening, you'll see it come back. Guaranteed.
You're seeing a lot of Freeze Mage over the last couple of days. I think that's like the go-to sexy deck right now.
Yep. That's I think Orange tweeted about it, calling it the Freeze Mage meta, and tweeted a mid-range Hunter deck that was doing really well. So yeah, definitely Freeze Mage is kind of the thing. If you're up on the higher parts of ladder where people can actually run it, because it's not an easy deck to run, you know?
It's not. So. I've been playing with like three different versions of it lately, and it's very difficult.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's go into this week's episode of Gain or Entertain segment, not episode, segment number two. People seem to enjoy the segment. So we're going to go into, let's go ahead and do it.
Beat him.
Nope, wrong one. Yeah, no, that is the right one.
Beat him.
Gain. Or entertain. Ah, oh, no. I didn't make a sounder. I'm lazy. I can't help it. I need to figure it out. It's a lot of work.
Your sounder
okay?
game is so good, John. You're so on point with the sounder game.
I can't just crap out a amazing sounder whenever I want, though. It takes time. It takes effort. And sometimes the best thing to do is just scream over your existing sounders for all those people listening in headphones. So First up. Anyways, we're going to do Gain or Entertain this week. So Gain or Entertain, our goal is to highlight a deck that is designed to help you win games, have fun, or both. This week, we're going to actually discuss an aggro druid list that was submitted on Reddit by Sixalix. S-I-X-A-L-I-X. So, yeah, that's what we're going to discuss this week. And the deck list is in the show notes. I'm also going to put it in Twitter, actually, or in Twitch. Actually, JR is going to do that. And it's on the video as well. So first, let's run down the cards for this aggro slash token type druid list that we've got here. First, two Innervates. Of course, you're running druid. Second, two Argent Squires. Of course, because Argent Squire is amazing right now. Two Bloodsail Corsairs, you greedy rogue and warrior players. Two Enchanted Ravens, because got to get those that beast synergy in. Two Fireflies, again, the new hotness. Two Mark of the Lotuses, because again.
We have one on there, right?
There should be two. I messed that up.
I'm looking
there.
At the wrong list then.
The list, yeah, the list that I put on Blizz Pro, I realized was wrong. One Patches, two Galaka Crawlers, you greedy pirate playing jerks. Two Mark of Yashiraj, two Power of the Wild, two Ravasaur Runts, two Pantry Spiders, my favorite card in this deck by far. Two Savage Roars, one Shell Shifter, two Swipes, one Bitter Tide Hydra Wood, and one Living Mana. That's the deck list so far. So let's talk about some of these key cards. So all three of us got a chance to play this over the last 3 or 4 days. So we've all played it a little bit. And before we even go in and talk about the key cards and mulligans and techs and all that kind of stuff, let's just talk about kind of our overall feelings about the deck as a whole. Tannen, I'll let you go first. Like, how did you do with this deck? What did you love about it? What didn't you like about it?
So overall, I actually liked the deck. I did pretty well with it. I had a pretty good win percentage going. I think I was winning like 60% of my games or something like that. And I gotta say, to me, if I had to like compare it to another deck, I would say that this is like this year's version of Face Hunter. You know, you're pretty much not trading ever. I mean, you take your value trades in a spot or two where they come up, but yeah, but you're just trying to get your opponent dead as quickly possible. I think the deck is relatively simple-ish to play. There's definitely some decision making here or there, like when you want to bring your patches out versus when you don't with something like Ravasaur Runt. Like there's some small play to it, but overall, I liked the deck a lot. And the reason I gave it the comparison to Face Hunter, besides the way it plays, is it gets you games done quick. You know, you're either winning or losing by turn four, and you know how the game's going to end up pretty much from there. So it gets you to the ladder really, really fast. So if that's something that you're looking for, this is the deck for you.
Awesome. Jared, what about you, man? How was your experience with this aggro-y token druid deck?
Yeah, so I played this at rank 3, and I won the very first 5 games that I played with it. Like, very quickly. Like, turn 5, turn 6, done. They're dead. I did find out, though, that in all of those games, because I went back and watched them all, my winning condition was literally get out living mana on turn 5 or before. And if I did that, I won. If I didn't, I wasn't winning. Mm. And that's one of the things that I saw about it, is it's not only very quick in getting out your 1-1 dudes and buffing them up, but that extra, like, living mana in that deck was so much better than what I gave credit for when we originally looked at the card before the set came out.
Sure. Unless you run into Silence Priest, and then you're screwed.
But you still might not be, right? Like, they might be dead before, unless they like can do a Silence and then Holy Nova, and then you just concede, you know.
Just let me have my memes, okay? Just let me have my memes.
Yeah. But no, it's one of those decks where if you can get it out and get a really good hand right out of the gate, it's very tough for your opponent to deal with, especially if they expect you to be playing a different druid deck than aggro druid. Although your first couple plays gives it away entirely. So they can adjust accordingly. But no, it did well for me. And then I just got punished very, very hard against mid-range Hunter, especially. Decks that were able to control the board very, very efficiently while building their own. It got punished very hard against those decks. I had the hardest time against mid-range Hunter and Taunt Warrior were the two main ones that I had the hardest time with this deck.
Yeah, I actually had, and again, we're playing on very different parts of the ladder right now, because I played it up at rank 5 on the EU account, and I went like 4-4. I played it on NA, and I'm 14-1 or 14-2 and something like that. And that's how I went from like 24 where I was last month, because I didn't want to play in that Mean Streets of Gadget Sand meta, all the way up to like 16, just right on up. To beat Hunter, I found the best thing is that you need your Power of the Wilds and Mark of the Lotus, and you need to really hold on to those cards. Those are the most important parts for the more controlly matchups. It was that living mana play, as you were talking about. And surprisingly, Bittertide Hydra, we're going to talk about like tech cards in just a second, but like Bittertide Hydra is the best worst card in this deck. There are sometimes like against like Quest Rogue and stuff like that, you know, they just ping their tokens into it and they do 15 damage to you because, you know, you're just like, ouch, 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 ouch. But at the same time, just like Fellreaver, where you could just get, you know, overdrawn and die, most of the time they can't deal with it. So I thought that was really cool. Let's talk about some of these key cards here, though. So first, Argent Squire, Firefly, Pantry Spider, Shell Shifter, and Living Mana. I love this core right here because of how sticky these cards is. This is your stickiness that you get here. The meta right now is very sticky. It's about Death Rattles and Divine Shields and adapting into stealth and all these different types of things. So think of those cards is kind of like your sticky minions that give you that staring power or that staying power, because the only card draw that you have is Mark of Yashirash, right? Which has to be played on a beast, which is Galak Crawler and Enchanted Raven for the most part. Or I think Shell Shifter is too.
Spiders.
Bittertide Hydra.
Pantry Spiders.
But like for your early game, like that's all you really have, right? So that's it there for those types of minions. What about your buff cards, Tannen?
Yeah, so for the buff cards, you're looking at stuff like Savage War, which ends the game right away. But overall, you have stuff like Mark of the Lotus, Power of the Wild, and Mark, like you'd mentioned. Mark of the Lotus and Power of the Wild are being like the most important ones in this set, because they buff your entire board at once, which really gives the deck the power that it has. Because if you look at the size of these minions, it's not really exciting, right? You know, you've got 1/1s, 1/2s, and 1/3s. So you need a way to make these actual real cards, and that's how you do it. Plus, the way the deck is built, you want to be like mulliganing these cards a lot in your opening hand. You don't ever really want to be keeping your buff cards. You want to make sure that you have all of your, you know, your copious amounts of 1 and 2 drops, and then you top deck your buff cards. That's the best way that the deck plays out.
Top decking lethal is how you win games.
That's going to happen a lot.
You never lose when you top deck lethal. That's what I say. Because you don't. What do you think about Bittertide Hydra, JR, in this deck?
I'll be honest. Like, I am not a fan of this card.
What?
I played it, and every time I play it, I feel so much more punished by it than I ever did with Fellreaver.
How is this card not good for you?
It's an 8/8 for like 3 mana. If you get it out like a turn 2 or 3, I agree. It is awesome at that point. But it becomes a dead card the longer you go, because your life is more important than cards getting, you know, drawn away from your deck. because you just they just eventually beat you down. Like, I would so much rather play another Living Mana, two of those, than two Bittertide Hydras, in my opinion.
I'm like the other way around on this card. I think I would play two Bittertide Hydras before I play two Living Mana, but I could, I mean, I'm very willing to be wrong here, but I mean, this card's been great for me. I mean, like, it's really good against Taunt Warrior. It's nice to be able to attack one minion into their Taunt minion and kill it instead of having to give up, like, a third or, you know, a half of your board to get through something, and that's usually at the cost of a buff card as well. And stuff. So I like having, like, that big card to get through. Plus, there's so many decks that, like, you know, John was talking about that, you know, it can be bad against Quest Rogue, but here's the thing. If they have four or five minions out and you play this and they run all five of them into it, yeah, that sucks. You're taking 15. That's a lot. You're probably going to die. But if they don't have something set up like that, they just don't have an answer to the card. There's so many decks that are just cold to this card. And I feel like this card gives you more free wins than Living Mana does. Because like Living Mana is like usually harder. It is actually a hard five mana for Living Mana. Like if you do it too early, like you're not getting like enough out of it. And by that time, they usually have time to draw a sweeper or play a sweeper. But sometimes it's harder to kill an 8-8. And I think our opinions are probably a little more like results oriented. You know, like you've probably had better results when you draw a Living Mana versus the Hydra, and I'm the other way around. But I mean, I talked about it before the set came out. I love this card. I loved Fel Reaver and Druid in the past. So I think
and
it's great.
I was never big on this card to begin with. And it's for the fact that, especially against Hunter, there's very also token oriented with death rattles that are making tokens. Those 1/1 tokens are 3 points of damage. Or even you're against Taunt Warrior that keeps putting out taunts that you have to run into. You're taking three. Yeah, you're killing their taunts, but you're taking 3 points of damage every time. And eventually your dude dies and you gain nothing of it other than, yeah, you killed a bunch of taunts. But this deck, like, you're never able to build back up a board anyway because you run out of gas very quickly.
Right.
With Living Mana, the deck is built around buffing a ton of minions. And I would rather have a chance at maybe one or two of my 2/2 manas dying. I get 2 mana back. I make the other ones 3/3s by buffing them up with Power of the Wild. And I feel like I'm putting on more pressure at that point rather than just one big dude. My opinion.
You're definitely right in a lot of situations. I feel like we just did an episode of PvP on this.
What I feel like for Bittertide Hydra is if your opponents are going low and wide, so they've got small minions and lots of them, I don't like Bittertide Hydra because you're racing them, and what would normally be 1 damage to your face ends up being 3 damage to your face and 1 damage to your minion, right? And so you can lose that very quickly. At the same time, when you're playing against decks that, you know, go high and high and narrow, right? Larger minions, less of them. It's an MVP for sure. And even then, if you can get it out early enough, the point is that you shouldn't be trading with Bittertide Hydra. You're going face with that every time. It is your Savannah High main. But if they've got 5 or 6 damage on board, you know, from 3 or 4 different minions, you're put into a point where they can deal with that and do a bunch of damage to you. And so this is one card that I think is going to be one of the most controversial. That's why there aren't 2 in there. And even then, I've played around. I've cut it for 2 Living Manas. I ran 2 Shell Shifters for a while for a little bit more consistency. I ran a Direwolf Alpha for a while. Eggnapper is something that I ran too. So like there's,
I can get behind that card.
Yeah, there's some good techs. We're going to talk about that in a second. But you also have Savage Roar. You know, Savage Roar is the 3 mana spell that gives your minions +3 attack. What gives your minions and your hero +3, right? I'm not crazy.
2.
+2, thank you. +2 attack to all your minions and yourself. So that's your finisher. You have 3, 4 minions on the board and yourself. And now you're doing 15, 20 damage and finishing them up pretty quickly. The most tech cards, I guess, that are directly countering the meta are Bloodsail Corsair and Galaka Crawler. JR, how do you feel about these cards? They're two very anti-warrior, anti-rogue cards. Are you a fan of them? I mean, I guess too, Bloodsail Corsair is your activator for patches. So
right. You
have that. What did you think?
So I'm a big fan of Galactic Crawler right now, just for the simple fact that not only does it punish like directly Pirate Warrior, there's a lot of other decks that are still using Pirates, right? Miracle Rogue is still using Pirates. Quest Rogue is still using Pirates. And those are three decks right there that we talked about on the Tempo Storm, you know, tier one decks. So three of the four decks are still running the Pirate package. So Galactic Crawler is good at, you know, not only getting rid of the cards, but also buffing your guy up to a 3-4. As far as Bloodsail Corsair, once again, all four classes or all four decks that are top tier running weapons. So it's a very good counter as well against those top tier decks that you're going to run into a lot of. And like you said, it's a patches activator. So, you know, you can play it on like turn three or something like that. Get rid of their weapon, and you already have some dudes on the board. You bring out patches for another dude, and then you can, you know, play your Power of the Wild and Mark of the Lotus and, you know, get a 3-3 patches, you know, straight to the face. There's just a lot of versatility with those cards, and they're cheap to play, and that's what this deck is all about.
Right. What did you think about these, Tannen? Are you a fan of the anti-pirate apt anti-weapon techs here?
So big fan of both of them for multiple reasons. JR kind of alluded to this. Galactic Crawler is good against three of the top four decks on the meta report, so you can expect to see these decks quite a bit on the ladder. Galactic Crawler also is a beast. You know, if you're beast synergies, it makes Mark a little bit better in the games. Now, don't forget, you run pirates in your own deck here. So there are turns where, like, you attack with your patches and then you play your Galactic Crawler killing your own patches because it just gives you one bigger threat. And that's something that you can do. I mean, it's not a great play, but it's something you can do to keep your opponent from trading into your minions for free. I like to talk about Bloodsail Corsair for a second here. Getting value off, it's great. Like when you take a durability from a weapon. But in a lot of matches, it's just a 1-2. But it's so much more. Like you said, it's an activator for patches, but you need to play smart with it too. There's a lot of turns where you want to make sure that you adapt like Ravasaur Runt. And for, you know, three mana, you can just play Bloodsail Corsair. It pulls out patches, and now you have two minions to modify your Runt with. So you got two minions for the price of one, which is really above par here in Hearthstone. Plus, like, it's like JR said, if you play smart with this card, you can kind of like time it correctly with all of your buffs. You know, it's again, one mana for two minions. That's worth a lot of extra power in the deck when you have these stuff like Mark of the Lotus and Power of the Wild. So if you play really smart with those, a lot of the times it's not correct to play them early, even if like they don't have a weapon in their deck. You know, it's correct actually just to play something like Firefly on one because it fits into your curve better.
Right. And that's a really important thing is you have to be really mana efficient with this deck. And you always have to be thinking, I would say at least two turns ahead, right? What are you going to play next turn? What are you going to play the turn after that? And how are you going to maximize that mana?
And playing this deck, those are probably the only two turns you have to worry about because the game will be over.
Yeah, you have to do that 100% with Savage Roar too. There's a lot of games where like you need to be thinking about their life total and ignore your own and just be like, oh, okay, so I can push like six damage this turn. But this leaves me in a spot where if I top deck Savage Roar or, you know, Mark of the Lotus plus something next turn, I can win from there and stuff. Because there's a lot of games you have to play that way.
Right. Lastly, before we start talking about tech cards and mulligans and things like that, the rest of the cards, I'm talking mainly Enchanted Raven, Ravasaur Runt, Mark of Yashiraj, Shellshifter kind of. Like, even then, like, I put this in here as, like, it's kind of a filler, but Swipe is just such a good card that it's, like, Innervate. You don't make a Druid deck without Innervate. You don't make a Druid deck without Swipe. And so it's kind of a filler, but at the same time, I don't think I would ever remove it. Whereas, like, I could totally, you know, see people, you know, trying out maybe more Beast Synergy, right, and getting rid of... Or less beast synergy, whatever, you know, and kind of trying to do, maybe they want to try to run a pirate package or they want to try and run Murloc Druid, you know, like there's some interesting things there, but the rest of those are kind of a filler. But let's talk about tech cards, because if you've heard anything from this conversation about this deck so far, what I want you to hear is this. This deck is incredibly versatile and has a lot of open slots. There are, you know, maybe 15 of the 30 slots are immediate lock-ins. You can't do it without it. But the other 15, you can do, you've got a lot to play with. You've got a lot of room to play with. You are going to always need your buffs. You're always going to need your sticky minions. You're going to need a finisher and some form of removal. But from there, where do you go? So here's some cool tech cards that we've kind of discussed. Direwolf Alpha. Really great, right? Because think of it as the same way as like Zoo at this point. Once you start getting that tokeny type play, Aggro Druid kind of starts to play like Zoo a little bit. Tana, did you try Direwolf Alpha? Direwolf Alpha, dang. At all on this deck?
No, I haven't tried it yet, but I've thought about it a lot, and I like it if you're not, like you said in the notes, if you're not playing against Rogue or Warrior. I like this a lot if you're playing against stuff like the Mirror, or you're playing against Zoo Warlock a lot, or anything that's also spamming the board with one and two drops, because here's the thing. In that matchup, the first person to trade usually loses, right? Well, if you have Direwolf Alpha, and you're making your 1-2s into 2-2s, and your opponent has 1-2s, like, you can't lose at that point. Because, like, now all your minions are actually trading way more efficiently than your opponents. So that's a spot where you want something like Direwolf Alpha. It pushes a little extra damage, and it makes your trades better and efficient. But if you're just trying to beat your opponent down before they can do anything, this is not the kind of card you want in your deck, because there's going to be games where you're going to be playing it for no value, and that makes it really bad. But I can definitely see a lot of metas where, like, this is the card you definitely want if you're targeting to beat, like, other decks that are like yours.
Another really cool deck, or cool tech that I heard, is Eggnapper in that three slot. Three slot for Druid sucks. It's always sucked. They're either, we had, since Shade of Naxxramas went away.
Yeah, I was going to say, Shade of Naxxramas was awesome.
Was amazing.
Wait, Nax is out?
Nax is out. Nax is out, boys. Since then, it really doesn't have a good three. And even right now, you've got Savage Roar and Pantry Spider. But for the most part, you either, What, Tannen?
You're saying Pantry Spider. Like, I just can't believe we're playing Pantry Spider overall. I like Pantry Spider. It's good in this deck. It's good in this deck. I'll admit it. But every time it's in my opening hand, I just look at it and I'm just like, really? Is this what Hearthstone's come to? I'm playing Pantry Spider.
Pantry Spider sucks if you can't Power of the Wild it or Mark of the Lotus it. But most of the time you can, and it helps you get a wide board quickly. So Eggnapper, for those of you like, what's Eggnapper? Because we didn't discuss it on this show. You probably haven't seen it on the ladder. If you have, maybe once or twice. Eggnapper,
I had to just now look it up because I couldn't.
Eggnapper is a 3-mana 3/1 minion that reads Death Rattle, summon 2/1/1 raptors, which, yes, of course, are beasts. So just to keep that in mind. The Eggnapper, though, itself is not, even though it looks pretty Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle-y beast to me. what do you think about, I won't ask JR because he had to look it up again, but Tannen, what do you think about Eggnapper as maybe at like another tech in here instead of maybe a Bittertide Hydra? Maybe shortening that curve a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I like the idea of Eggnapper a lot. I tried it out for like a second or two because I was playing against a decent bit of control decks and a lot of like AoE. And when we talked about Direwolf Alpha coming in against like, you know, kind of mirror-ish kind of matches, like other minion decks, this is a really good card if you're going to be running into a lot of Freeze Mage, a lot of decks that have a lot of AoE and that are just trying to survive for the first couple of turns. Yeah, they can use a spell to kill an Eggnapper, but they're leaving behind two minions now. So you're actually breaking even on stuff like Power of the Wild, Mark of the Lotus. I get those mixed up sometimes, a little dyslexic. But you're actually breaking even on power there after they've killed your card and spin a card to do it. So this is a really good tech card if you're playing against a lot of control. Like, let's say you're going to a local tavern brawl and all your players there are playing like you know, a little bit of some slower decks, but they have a lot of ways to kill all of your minions, you know, because this deck can straight up fold to a consecration at certain parts as well. And this thing leaves behind a couple minions that can get in way more damage than they should since they're just 1/1s.
Right. JR, conceptually here, how do you feel about, would you toss an Eggnapper in there or two?
It would depend on, I don't think I would take much of anything out currently, unless you started not seeing as much pirates or weapon-based classes, then I would definitely look into an Eggnapper. Or if I'm playing, you know, in a league or something like that, and I want to play this deck and I know what I'm going up against, it's a good tech card to bring in if you know you're not going to see a lot of pirates or things like that.
Yeah. Okay. So tech cards. Let's talk about one other one that I want to talk about, which is Vicious Fledgling. And this is also one I don't think we discussed on the show, so I'll explain again. Vicious Fledgling is a 3-mana 3/3 beast that reads, after this minion attacks a hero, adapt.
The card can be so good.
It can be so
good.
I
straight up lost to this card on the ladder right before the show. Like, I was playing up until like the minute we did the call for the show, and I just took a million from it.
Yeah, I can't decide if this is a win more card or not. Because part of me, like, on the face of it, it feels immediately win more. At the same time, it is so dangerous, it might as well say taunt. Right? Because your opponent cannot leave that up. And it's in that 3 slot again, which is always so barren for a druid, that just getting that out on the curve might be a really good way to go. Somebody suggested Imp Master in that 3 slot, which I was like, okay, I get it. Tokeny things, but
yeah, I can see where we're working with.
I like the beast synergy, I think, more though.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where you kind of gotta see, but I like more minions. If there's one thing that I think this deck can kind of struggle with, it is turn 3. You either want to skip it completely or play 2 minions there, and just having a good minion to play on 3 is sometimes really helpful.
I mean, I ran into times on turn 3 where I'm dropping a minion and able to then buff everything up with the rest of my mana that I have left. So, you know, there are good, you do have good turns like that as well. Vicious Fledgling, like I ran that in early versions of mid-range Hunter, or what I call faster Hunter, where it's sort of mid-range, but kind of comes out of the gate faster with more 1/1s. And I ran Vicious Fledgling in there, and it is one of those cards that your opponent takes care of right off the bat, that I ended up taking it out just for that fact that it basically did have taunt. So I just never got the effect off. When the effect went off, though, holy cow, that card is crazy good. Yeah. But
so, yeah. So really quick, let's talk about mulligans really quick. Then we actually got to get out of here. It's we're at almost time. So mulligans with aggro, mulligans are often very similar. You're going to be keeping your 1-drops, keeping most of your 2-drops if you have a 1-drop. Always keep like Glocker Crawler against Warrior. I would say against Rogue too, if you're fairly confident they're running the pirate package. I don't usually keep Mark of Yashiraj unless I have a beast already in hand. Even though the buff is nice, I just, you have such a high chance of getting a better card there. I never keep a 3 unless I have a 1 and 2, or I have the coin and I have a 1-drop. So then you can go straight in and fill that curve out, right? This is going to be the common sense statement of the week. Try to curve out. Just try, like, again, we talked about this before. You're wanting to think 2-3 turns ahead on how you're going to curve out with this deck. You don't have a lot of card draw. You have 1 card in there that's going to draw you cards. So if you are going to play a deck like this, you have to be planning ahead. You can't count on drawing into a lot of your answers. More than likely, your answer is in your hand. And so you're going to need that. And last but not least, and this is the one I want to talk to you guys about. So specifically, Power of the Wild and Mark of the Lotus. These are the two cards that buff all your minions +1/+1 on the board. Do you believe in keeping this, and under what circumstances would you keep this in your mulligan? JR, I'm going to ask you first.
I would definitely keep it if I already have 2 1-drops. And depending on what those 1-drops are, I would most definitely keep it. If one of those 1-drops is the pirate, the not patches, then that's going to be extremely good. I don't know if I would keep it with a 1-drop and 2-drop, though, because then you're probably not going to play it until turn 3. And at that point, I would just rather ditch it and try for another 1-drop or something there, because you're going to draw into your buffs at some point anyway. So keep that board full.
Right. Yeah, JR got this like pretty right. I think the only time you keep it is when you have like the mono 1-drop hand, and it needs to be the 1-drop that populate. It needs to be like Firefly plus, you know, Bloodsail and stuff like that. So you're like, I actually have 2 cards in my hand, but they're really 4. You know, it's 4 minions, so my mark is actually really good in this spot. I actually wanted to ask you two guys about this, because there's a spot where I do it. Have you ever mulliganed Innervate?
Because
there's a spot where I think you're supposed to with this deck.
Jeez,
because it's hard to do. It's hard to make yourself click the button on Innervate, because we're just like so ingrained.
Every time I see Innervate, I'm just like, I have to keep it unless I have two. If I have or unless I have two with Bitterhide Hydra,
then I'm like,
I win the game.
Yeah, we're all in. I think like if you're ever let's say. You know, you're on the play, like you don't have the coin, and you're have to mulligan your whole hand besides it. I think you have to mulligan it too, just because it's so important for you to go 1/2. You know, it's just so important for you to like play a minion. And if you just mulligan 2 cards and get back like a buff and a 2-drop, you just lost. You just lost.
I would be really interesting. I would love to actually pull the numbers on that play, because mathematically, you should be able to come out with an answer of is it better for the extra chance at a 1 or 2-drop, or is it better to, you know, do that? That'd be a really interesting stat experiment. If someone wants to do it, I'm too lazy. I'm too old and lazy these days.
I'm not good at that.
But that's it. And the biggest thing is that one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to keep the buff cards almost every time I got it, but I didn't, unless I knew I would have at least 3 minions on the board by turn 2. So when I play it by the end of turn 2, I've already got 3 minions on the board. That's where Mark of the Lotus or Power of the Wild breaks even for me. If I can't guarantee that, or at least look at that and go, cool, yeah, I'm going to, you know, coin out and innervate something and boom, now I have three minions. I just don't think it's worth it. So that was about my only other thing I had to add to that. But we got to get out of here, actually. It's the end of the show. We hope that you enjoy Gainer Entertain. I really like talking about specific decks. I think it's a lot of fun to do. So if you do still enjoy it, please let us know. If there's something we can do better, something I think I already can tell you guys on the stream, we need to be better at speaking out weird cards and their stats and what they do. Because even then we're like, what does this one do again? So, you know, but besides that, let us know what you think. Would you rather more overall big meta discussion, or would you rather us highlight new, cool, and powerful decks? Peter G did send us in an email. We're going to hold it till next week. But Peter, I want you to know I enjoyed our conversation via email this week, and I want to discuss it with the boys next week for sure. And Patreon land, what do we have going on in Patreon land, Tannen?
We have a new one, William C joining the Patreon. And he can let us know at any point in time whenever he wants. I've got a match waiting and ready for him. He can even pick the classes. I don't care. I've got great decks for every one of them.
Awesome. And iTunes reviews. Anything going on for iTunes reviews this week, JR?
I do not see any new iTunes reviews this week. However, if you'd like to leave us an iTunes review, please consider doing so by heading over to iTunes. Going to the podcast, typing in Hearthstone, you will find us there. If you leave a nice little 5-star review, I will try not to mispronounce your name next week, but I probably will.
Awesome. Let's, cool. Thanks for doing that. And let's go ahead and close out for the week. Tannen, where can people find you and any shout outs you might have for the week?
People can find me on Twitter at the Tannen Grace. Pretty easy on there. I'm also pretty active in the Facebook group, especially now, even more so. Looking forward to seeing what people are coming up with in there, because there's been some great ideas in our Facebook group about new decks and stuff. My shout out is to Blizzard this week, because thank you guys for making Hearthstone great again. Like, I just can't tell you thank you enough.
How much are they paying you for that?
I think there's some brown on my nose.
Got some brown right there.
Hold on.
JR, what about you, man? Shout outs for the week, and where can people find you?
People can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. And also over on the hearthstone.blizzpro.com. Not really a shout out, but if you head over there, we have a decklist creator that our writers can use that we got developed for our team. So we're hoping to have more deck lists over there that you can check out and learn to, see these awesome decks for Journey to Un'Goro and maybe get some ideas of your own. And definitely go check out that.
Yeah, cool. As for me, I've got a couple things. First, you can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod. I'm streaming 5 to 6 times a week at twitch.tv/kicktripod, starting at about 3 p.m. Mountain Time. So that's 2 p.m. Pacific Time. You can hang out. A lot of Overwatch playing there, but we talk about Hearthstone a lot while we're doing that. So a lot of fun there. I also want to shout out Kage Kumo. He's been an amazing member of the WellMet community, the BlizzPro community, my personal community as well, that we've been hanging out with online. And haven't heard from him for about a month. Found out that he was actually in the hospital this last month and finally emailed me tonight, let me know he was okay. He's back.
Oh, thank God.
I don't want to give too much info away, but I just want to say, Kage, we're super happy that you're back and feeling better. We miss you, dude. Very, very fast getting better, recovery. Getting well soon. Recovery. Thank you. Very fast recovery wishes to you, sir.
And get well soon, man.
Yeah, get well soon, and we hope to see you hanging out in that chat soon. That is going to do it for us for episode 105 of Well Met. You can find us live every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and you can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. Also, don't forget to enter into that Legion by Lenovo giveaway. The link is in the show notes there as well. You can tweet us at WellMet Podcast or email us at WellMet@BlizzPro.com. Questions, comments, ideas, anything. Thank you for tuning in for episode 105 of WellMet. We will see you next week. gain
or
entertaining. Entertain.